their life has never met a trickster. A trickster is this person who is always trying to get over, always think that they're smarter than everyone else, always has a shortcut, always know the best route for something. This person is always up to something, and it doesn't matter what they say. What you know is I can never believe that person because there's always a motive behind what they're saying. I know in your life you don't meet people like that because every day you wake up and you pray to God, and on Sundays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and whatever, you go to church, and all you do is you hang around church folks. And even when you go to work, your little cubicle full of church folks, and y'all all anointed and sit there, y'all don't lie on one another, y'all don't just talk about one another, y'all just sit there and just talk about how wonderful God is. And if you really believe that, you must be the Jacob in your group. The Bible declares that there's nothing impossible with God. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, whoever you are, you got to know that God has the power to change you. But God can only change you if you allow Him to change you. God would never be in competition with you to bless you, with you to save you. So God stands and He knocks and He says, "Will you let me come in? I'm not going to force my way in. If you allow me to come in, I'll come in. When I come in, I'll sit with you." In other words, I'll sit down and I'll put you at peace because you invited me in. And when you invite God in, you invite God to have His way with you. So God wants you to know that in spite of who you are, who you used to be, God can always change you, and God is always trying to move us from one set or one stage of glory to the next, but we have to allow God to do that. And so sometimes in order for God to do that, the first thing that God will always do is God will always break us. He'll always crack you wide open to show you who you are, or to show you who you're really not. Because sometimes we think more highly of ourselves than we really should. So we say, "I don't need your prayers. I'll just pray for you. And I'm okay. And I'm holy. And I'm all of this." And God is saying, "That's a breaking right there. It's coming. That's a breaking." And so God will always attack you or allow Satan to come into your life, and Satan will break you. But what you have to understand is that God still has His hands on you. So even in the midst of you being broken by Satan, you're still God's child.
Amen.
And so we're saying, "Well, God, this doesn't feel good." And God is saying, "I'm not after a feeling. I'm after a calling in your life. Because I gave birth to you, or allowed you to be born, because I'm pulling you, I'm calling you into a particular purpose. Because there are some lost souls that is waiting for you to get in line so that you can minister to them." But God will always cause a breaking so that He can deal with you. When God begins to break you, one of the first things that we're so quick to do is to run. "Oh no, I'm not hanging around for this. I'm gone." And so what we discover is that you can run, but you cannot outrun a God that is omnipresent. So it doesn't make a difference where you go. God is saying, "There I am." If you go to the east or to the west, there I am. If you go to hell, He says, "If you make your bed there, I'm there, right there." And so you cannot outrun God. But my question this morning is, I wonder how many of us is on the run this morning. Knowing what God has called you to do, but you're afraid because you wasn't trained in ministry. Because nobody ever taught you how to quote scriptures. Because you're not ready for that. And so you're running, and God is saying, "I don't care anything about your education. I don't care anything about your talent, anything about your skills. What I want you to understand is that when I call you, I sanctified you, I set you aside for a holy purpose. And it's not about your resume. It's about me empowering you, anointing you to do it. So you don't need what you think you need. You don't need a resume, baby. All you need is a relationship."
With me.
If the relationship is right, I'll take care of everything else. And so, like Jacob, we're running. See, because Jacob was running because Jacob stole the blessings of his brother Esau. Isn't that something when somebody can trick somebody else out of out of their right positions. You should never be intimidated by anyone. You should just know what God has called you to do. And you may be able to sing better than me. You may be able to teach better than me and preach. But what I do know is what God has called me. And that's all I'm concerned with. You see, we have to learn to finish the course that God has set before us. Well, I don't care what you're doing over there. Whatever you're doing over there is going to match what I'm doing over here. I don't need to copy your gift, copy your anointing. I just need to be me. Because what God has anointed you to do, He doesn't need me to do it in the same house. So it's okay if you sing and then I shout. That's all right. Together, God is saying, we're doing this thing.
Amen.
And so here's Jacob. Jacob is on the run because he stole his brother's blessing. Or he really tricked him. So because he tricked his brother out of something, what Jacob ended up with is holding blessings that he's not able. I got it, but my character won't allow me to represent it. So I took yours, but I'm not anointed to keep it. Sometimes in life, God will allow you to get something and you can't handle it.
Amen.
So because you already have it, God will say to you, I'll let you keep it, but I'm going to break you and rebuild you so that you can max it out. And so here he is standing here holding something that his character cannot keep up with. It's the question that I quite often ask, and it is, what do you do with your Ishmaels when your Isaac show up? What do you do with the stuff that you stole when the real stuff comes? What do you do with your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband when yours show up? What do you do with the job that somebody pushed you into, but God didn't call you into, but now you got the mortgage and you're locked in your situation, but the anointed job that pays less, but God is going to bless you in it, but you're all tied up in something else? How do you back out of the thing and still allow God to bless you in the midst of your mess? I'm glad that I serve a God who can bless a mess. I'm glad that I serve a God who doesn't need me to be perfect, sinless, any of that. He says, but my grace is sufficient. See, God knew me before I even got here. He knew I was going to tear some stuff up. He knew I was going to jack some stuff up. And he says, let me go ahead and send Jesus out, because this boy's just going to mess up some stuff. So he went ahead of me and fixed it. That's a blessing when God goes ahead of you and make your crooked straight. And so he went ahead of Jacob. Jacob is on the run, running from Esau. And because he's on the run, he has blessings, or he's been given something, or he took something that he wasn't able to hold on to. And so there he stands with something in which he has, but don't know how to deal with it. And so one night he's sitting around, and then he finds himself in verse number 24. He was left alone. What a horrible place to be.
Amen.
Just left alone. Room full of people, church full of folks, and you left alone. When God get ready to deal with you, I don't care how many people around, God will put you in a place and God will begin to deal with you. And when God begins to deal with you, money can't rescue you, a relationship can't rescue you, nothing can rescue you, and nothing can fulfill you until God says, I want to deal with you, and I'm going to deal with you on this matter. So God left Jacob alone and God began to deal with him. I wonder if God is dealing with you on something this afternoon. I wonder if God is keep isolating you, and while he isolates you, he still insulates you. He still protects you, but he still got you in a place where God is saying, I need to deal with you on something because I have a plan for you and you just won't get in line. So God keeps trying to push you into a place of glory, but you keep fighting because you want to stay in a place of tradition. And God is saying, if you let go and but you just have to trust me. When you begin to trust God, you begin to lay out on his word. You begin to lay out on his promises. You begin to lay out on every single thing that God says, and you don't question whether or not your situation or your circumstance can hold you, because I got a word and I'm standing on his word. Everything else may fail, but his word will never fail me. I know what you told me, so I'm going to stand on your word. I know the bills are past due. I know that they're stabbing me in the back. I know I may get laid off, but you promised me something, and I know you to be a God that would never leave me, never forsake me, so I'm going to stand on your promise.
Amen.
Jacob is left all alone, and when he's left all alone, he then finds himself wrestling. Isn't it something to be left alone and can't find peace? I mean, nobody bothers you. You just bother yourself. But isn't it a good thing when you're left alone and you can bother yourself? Because now you know the Holy Spirit does live inside of you. Because once upon a time, I can do what I want to do when I feel sorry about anything or anybody. Thank God I have a conscience. Thank God that the Holy Spirit now rests inside of me. Thank God that the Holy Spirit is now pushing me to get something right. And so sometimes when I'm left alone, I'm not worried about being left alone. I'm worried about the inner struggles that I have to. The ones I can't tell you about. Because you'll think, how can you be saved and then going through that? How can you be sanctified and still doing that? How can you keep tithing and still be broke? How can you keep talking about love and folks still outcasting you? How can you keep doing the same old thing but you see nothing? The inner struggle is when I struggle within myself.
Amen.
It's when I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the house is silent, but I need to sit there and I got to deal with me. It's easy for me to deal with you because I can say you crazy and walk away. But what do you do when you have to deal with yourself when you can't leave you? What do you do when you look in the mirror and there I am once again? What do you do when you try to put alcohol and sex and everything else and you still got a big hole in you? What do you do when you try to replace whatever it is that you're dealing with God? There's a place that is reserved inside of you, and God is saying, that's me right there, and I'll share that space with no one. And so he finds himself wrestling one night in verse number 24. And he finds himself wrestling, and then when he begins to understand that he's in this fight, but you got to try to imagine this thing, is that I'm running from my brother because he's chasing me. Not only am I running from him, but it's dark. And then in the middle of the night, some man touched me that I don't even know who he is. Have you ever been dealing with something in your midnight hour and God touched you? Couldn't see God, but you knew it was God. And God didn't show up to bless you. He showed up because he wanted to deal with you to say, you know, that wasn't right. See, we look for God to show up and, oh, God loves me. Just put his arms around me. But sometimes one of the characteristics of God is a wrath God, where God needs to deal with us. I'm just talking about meaning. God needs to deal with me. I know y'all saved, y'all going to heaven. I know y'all got it right. But sometimes I do some crazy stuff and I do it all by myself. Don't even need no help.
All right.
Amen.
Paul says, the wretched man that I am. Now, how can you be saved and then call yourself wretched? See, because you know the inner struggle. I ain't joking with self. I can fool you, but I know me.
Amen.
I'm crazy. I do some crazy stuff.
Amen.
And if you don't watch me, I open my Bible, find a verse, and say I'm doing it in the name of Jesus. Because that verse right there fit it. So I'm going to put that one there. So we do things like that. And so here it is, he finds himself, he's wrestling. And as he began to wrestle, he discovered that this is going to be a long night. Sometimes in life, the things that you thought was going to be a beat down in life end up being a blessing. You going through something, you say, Lord, I'm going to die right here. And God says, no, this is not a beat down, this is a blessing. But I don't see that. That's all right. Because you're walking by faith. and not by sight. If I show it to you, you won't press into me. And so sometimes God will allow you to deal with something in the middle of the night. The sun may be shining, but it's still dark in your life. Because sometimes God will walk you through a valley where you see nothing, hear nothing, and he says, but you got to know that I'm right there. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Jacob finds himself going through something in the middle of the night. He's wrestling with somebody who he'll later discover he's wrestling with God. In the midst of wrestling with God, the next verse says that now God touched him and touched his hollow part of his thigh. Now, if you know anything about your body, when your thigh, you lose control of your thigh, you can't turn. You can't pivot. And God is saying the same things that you used to rely on, your strength, your education, your resume, he says, I'm going to take that stuff so now you can pivot away from me. See, God sometimes will put you in a place and then lock you there. Here I am in the hospital. I cannot move. I got to deal with myself and I got to deal with God. Here I am going through something. All I need is some money to get out of the situation, and God dries everything up and I got to stay right there to deal with this thing. And so what God is saying, I touched your thigh and you thought it was a problem, but it's really not a problem. It's a promotion. Nothing is wrong. I just needed for you to understand what you perceive as a problem. I'm going to promote you from right there. If you ever want to know where God is going to bless you at, look at where you are. God will always meet you where you are. Today, right now. He won't meet you down the street. God will come to you, meet you where you are, and say, I know you in a mess. I know you in a bind, but watch me order your steps. Watch me lead and guide you out of this mess. And when I deliver you, you need to give me some praise to understand that everybody else walked out of here. Everybody else left you, but I, God, delivered you out of this thing. And so he finds himself wrestling. And as he finds himself wrestling, he discovers that now his thigh is out of place. And he says in the next verse, verse number 26, he says, let me go, because I'm tired. You ever feel like that? Going through something, God, just let me go. Ooh, I'm tired. Just let me die. Just let him go. I'm tired. And he says, let me go. And Jacob says to God, I will not let you go until you bless me. Understand, blessing is to empower. He's not saying simply say something. He's simply saying, give me the power. Where I am, give me the anointing to get out of this situation. Anointing is a power that allows you to operate. It gives you the grace for a season so that what other people are doing and struggling, you keep just walking right through. It's like you're floating and everybody else saying, oh, I don't know how you're doing. I would have lost my mind a long time ago. And you say, not me, but I'm anointed to do this. So God, I got to give you all the credit because I understand where I am. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. If it had not been for the Lord. So God says to Jacob, let me go. And he says, I will not until you bless me. And now verse number 27. He asks Jacob, he says, what's your name? Now I told you it was dark out here. Now, God, I even told you, I really didn't feel like playing like this. I prayed you and I told you the truth. Now, come on now, God, stop playing. I'm scared too. Now's not the time for us to do these Holy Ghost little test things. Not right now. And so God asked him, God says, what is your name? It wasn't what they called him that God was after. What God wanted to hear, it's what's your character? Who are you when no one is watching? What do you do behind closed doors. See, God asked him, what is your name? And he says, my name is Trickster. Jacob. So he says, my character is to trick folks. And God is saying, you still don't have it. Back into the fire, back into the night you go. That's why we stay in stuff so long. Because we don't understand. Every now and then God is saying, okay, stop. Exam. What's your name? And then you fail on what's your name. Because if you miss the name, you miss the nature. If I don't know my name, I don't know what I'm about. See, we name folks Pookie and Ray Ray and John Lee. We just call folks anything. And God is saying, no, in the name is the power. That's why when you pray to God, you pray in the name of Jesus. Because in the name is the power. So what you call yourself is what it becomes. What you say about it, the word that you release gives spirit, and the spirit gives manifestation. So whatever I say about a circumstance or a situation is what it becomes. If I say that's trouble, it becomes trouble. If I say that's an opportunity for God to bless me, that's an opportunity for me to receive the blessing from God. So in the midst of going through something, I got to be careful how I label things. I got to call them what God is calling them. And God is saying, what is your name? And he says, Jacob. And God is saying, no, you wrestle with me. I'm going to change your name from Jacob to Israel. Because you wrestle with God and you prevail. Doesn't mean that you beat God, but it means that you promote it to the next test. So that's what God is trying to do. God is trying to promote us to the next thing in line. And so my question in closing this morning or this afternoon is this. What is your name? What is your name? What is your name? Not what they call you, but what is your character? Are you defeated? Or is your name overcomer? What is your name? Is your name hopeless? What is your name? Is your name fear? What's your name? Is your name faith? What is your name? That makes the difference. I want you to understand that where you are broke or broken as a child of God. You are broke or broken. It is not until God breaks you, cracks you open, that he can take you and begin to press out all of you to replace all of him. That's why when Jesus ascended, he ascended, but the Holy Spirit descended. And he said, I'll never leave you. So, in other words, Jesus is saying, when I leave this earth, another, the Comforter, will come. And the Comforter will get inside of you. And so, in the midst of you going through something, understand you're never alone. So, God will sometimes allow you to be broken so that he can put something inside of you. And because you've been broken and you've been through so much, please understand that you're back. Back from brokenness. I've been in a fight, but I'm back now. I'm back where God wants me to be. Watch this. When Jacob found himself wrestling with God, God touched him, put his thigh out of place, changed his name, and then every day thereafter, Israel was walking down the street, and people would see him, and he was limping because his thigh was out of place. And they said, there go that limping man. And they thought that this was just a bad thing. And he said, no. The car accident, the scars, was to remind me that God delivered me.
Amen.
The layoff wasn't a bad thing. It was to remind me that God can do all things. When I went to the doctor and they said I had cancer, and they had to do surgery, and the long scar that you see, it's not a bad thing. It's to remind me that by His stripes, I'm healed. Sometimes people will know your story, know your situation and circumstance, and don't even take the time to get to know your name. I mean nature. Here comes Bob. Do you know that Bob just da 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 da? They don't care anything about you. They just know your story. See, I can look at you and I think I know your story because I know what I heard. God says He knows your glory. I know what I see and what I heard. But God is saying, but I was there in the midnight hour. I wrestled with you. I even, in the midst of going through something, allowed you to be changed. One day God called you and says, come on in, and I want to change you. Nicodemus says, do I have to re-enter my mother's womb the second time? No, Nicodemus. He says, I want to baptize you. Not the water. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood. He says, I want to give you a fresh start. And so he comes inside of your life and He gives you a fresh start. And He changed your name away from whatever it is your mom called you, named you. And He says, I'm going to write a name in the book of life. Because your salvation is sealed. I know you've been through something, but you're back. You're back. I know it was painful, but you're back. I know it was embarrassing, but you're back. Now, it doesn't make any sense for me to say that you're back if you're not standing in the place of being back. You got to stand in your position and say, I'm back. You may heard something about me, but I'm back. I've been broken. You know a little bit about what I've been through. But God is saying, there's no condemnation. Because there's justification through me. He says, don't worry about what they say.
Amen.
Worry about what I have sealed. And that's your name. You got to know that God has allowed you to go through the valley. It was dark, allowed you to be in fights. And He has allowed some things in your life so that He can break you, so He can build you back up. We call it resurrection. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. You got to get this. I'll draw all men unto who?
Me.
Who?
Me.
Him. Well, that's all right. I'm not in competition with you, Jesus. I can't. Because if you draw them to you, and I'm wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in you, my gift then began to make room for me. My gift began to open doors and take me before great men. Not my qualification. My gift. See, Jacob had to buy the birthright. He says, I'll give you a gift and they'll make room. You don't have to pay for them. Just open the door. And that's what the anointing does. It opened doors for you. It opened doors for you. Father God, we thank You, Lord, for allowing us once again to come into Your presence. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, that somebody will receive this word, understand that they've been through something, been broken. But now, Lord, it's time to bounce back. Now, Lord, it's time to reclaim our kingdom positions. We thank You, Lord, for allowing us even to go through. Thank You, Lord, for our afflictions, understanding that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and is called. Thank you, Lord, I just didn't go. Thank you, you called me, Lord. And when you called me, you sanctified me.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the life, Lord, that you allow us to live. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus that we get our power. In the name of Jesus that we have healing. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that our faith is increased. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for loving us. In the name of